Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
I'm teaching you tonight on basic rudiments for effective prayer. Basic rudiments. For effective prayer. I was listening to Dr. Miles Monroe some years ago, and he said, usually, oftentimes, the smallest meeting in a church gathering are the prayer meetings. And then, ironically, the prayer meetings are the most powerful meetings. Yet, they are the smallest. And in his diagnosis, he came up with a few conclusions. I hope I remember them correctly. Number one, he said, men don't engage prayer meetings because they don't understand how to pray. Many have not been taught how to pray. And then number two, he said, many are not excited about the prayer meeting because they hardly got results when they pray. So they are tired of the rituals. Every day there is prayer, they are there praying out their heart, and they end up not having the expectations. At best, because they have been indoctrinated from a religious background, they just have to sustain a supposed decorum for God in not venting their frustration. But truly, they are tired of the prayer thing because they are not getting answers. And they don't understand how to pray. The reason is not because prayer is an old-fashioned kingdom practice that has ebbed away over time. Neither is it because prayer is no longer powerful in our today's world. Prayer is an everlasting and eternal practice of the kingdom, and prayer will forever be powerful. So prayer has come to stay and will remain forever. So it is in our benefit to understand how to pray and to gain results when we pray. Jesus was speaking. Two scriptures I discovered that Jesus used to qualify men are Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 and Luke chapter 18 verse 1. In Matthew 4 verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So if you will be that man that God called a man. You know, when I preach this, sometimes I get humorous. I say, you are not a man because you have two ears, two eyes. You have the physique of a man necessarily. Of course, that's part of it. But as far as God is concerned, if you are a man, if you will meet up divine expectation for manhood, he said, you must live by the word. And not just the word, the rhema, the spoken word of God. This is why you see many persons, they have degenerated from what you will call basic qualification of being human. In our world today, some men are called inhuman, or their actions inhumane, because they don't resemble what a man is capable of doing. They have degenerated. Some have no identity. Some have become beastly in their operations. Some have given up hope about life. It looks as if existence itself is a prison that they are hoping to escape from. And some, in frustration, an attempt to escape from this prison, end up committing suicide. Because you can't live the human life and maximize it without encountering the world. If you are a man, if a man shall live by the word of God and not bread alone. Number two, in Luke 18 verse 1, Jesus was speaking again in an attempt to qualify who a man is. And he said, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I preached a message many years ago, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I don't know what angels ought to do always, to remain at the energy level of the angelic rank. But if you are a man, for you to remain at this frequency, you know, some of us who study chemistry, you know, atoms move in energy levels. Every atom is not at the same level. They live in regions that we call orbitals. An orbital is a region where you have the highest probability of finding an electron. So electrons that are in orbitals operate at energy levels. For an electron to remain in that level, there is a basic energy it must have. When it loses energy, it will drop from that energy level. And when it gains energy, it will ascend to a higher energy level. So the transitions of electrons, either from lower to higher, is a function of the energy they absorb or emit. For you to live at a realm, whether qualitatively or quantitatively, where men were designed to operate, Jesus said you need to pray. If you don't pray, you will, you know, that's why when sometimes you hear, you see some people and they have this phrase that men have gathered. Because we were created to operate in certain class. We were created to function in the God class. Expressing ourselves as kings, as priests, as heavenly ambassadors, as witnesses of Jesus. These things take power. These things take energy. For you to operate as a king in a devastated and chaotic world like this, there is a power that will support you. For you to function as an ambassador, as a witness, these are not things you wish. It takes power. You don't wish yourself to be a senator, sir. You don't wish yourself to be a minister. You don't wish yourself to be a governor. It's a seat of power. God created man to live and to function in a seat of power. Either as a king, as a priest, as a witness, or as an ambassador. But by all means, when you find an ideal man, he will reflect something of heaven. As a king, he manifests God's majesty. As a priest, he has the power to unveil heaven any day, anytime, because he has connection. As a witness, he has the power to manifest God's kingdom. As an ambassador, he has the authority to represent the government of heaven. But Jesus is saying, that is an energy that you cannot live casually. For you to operate there without doubt, he said you ought to pray. Because if you don't pray, what is the answer? You will faint. That means when kings gather, you can't appear, sir. When priests are assembled, you can't be there. When ambassadors and witnesses are summoned, you can't be there. So for you not to be a fainted man, Jesus said, you ought to what? Pray. And pray always. Otherwise, there's no luck or chance that will make you operate at the energy level of the man that God created. Men ought always to pray. Are you beginning to see already why when you look at your life, you can't see the royalty of God? When you look at your life, you can't see the power to bring kingdom, because it's a fainted realm. In that fainted realm, majesty can manifest. Kingdom can manifest. The dimensions of heaven cannot be seen. So if you want to function like the man that God has in mind, You must eat the word always, and you must pray always. This is why every believer, two things are basic: interaction with the word and interaction with God in prayer. If you remove these things from a man's existence, some men might even degenerate and become worse than animals. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostles of Jesus made a statement. There are many things that people want to do. He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They found a secret. This is what makes a man of God, one who mirrors God, and one who operates as God's expectation. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Unfortunately, these are the two things Christians hate doing. That's why we who should be the thought of the earth, we are the ones struggling to survive and to be sustained. We who should be the light of the world, we are the ones struggling to be seen and to be helped. Is it not an irony? I have seen an abomination under the sun, says the scriptures. He said, princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. If you will give yourself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, you will understand what God meant when he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Because the man God sees has his image, has his likeness, and exercises dominion as a way of life. If these three things are not there, you are hardly a man from God's perspective. If we see you and we can't see God, both in character and in essence, and in manifestation and power, then you are not likely to be the man Jesus, God was talking about. When Jesus was baptized and he was coming out of the water, God was the one who introduced him. This is my beloved son. When I said I was going to make man, this is what I was talking about. This is my idea of a man. This is my perception of a man. That when you see him, you see me. And anything I can do, he's able to do on earth here as my legal representative. But the summary is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Adam lost the life of God, so prayer and the word couldn't do so much for him. You have it now. So you can now function like Christ. You can literally function like Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mimic me as I mimic Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. John said, as he is, so are we, not in heaven, in this world. 1 John 4, 17. As he is. Because now we have his life, staying on the word and prayer will make us replicate him in all dimensions. This is why prayer has become paramount. This is why staying with the word has become paramount. But the undoing of most of us is either that we are not praying at all, or we are praying, but we don't know how to pray. And so tonight, I want to show you two things. Number one, the purpose of prayer. Why is prayer important? Of course, holistically, you have seen that prayer will make you the man God has in mind. But let's break it down into bits and pieces so that you can see from a biblical perspective why we pray. Miles Monroe said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, the abuse is inevitable. So as important as prayer is, it can be abused. Hope you know the Pharisees abused prayer. They used prayer as a tool of false expression. So they were hypocrites because of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, you read from verse 5. They didn't know why prayer was important. They prayed at street corners to be seen of men. They thought prayer was a show. And Jesus looked at them. He said, you are hypocrites. You don't know why we pray. He said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. So hypocrites do pray. You would think a hypocrite who has no business with prayer because of how powerful and spiritual prayer is, you are largely deceived. When you pray, don't be as the hypocrites are. He said, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. You know the problem with these people? They cannot achieve what prayer produces, because they don't know how to pray and they don't know what prayer requires. So now that we can't get what prayer gives, let's build a religion around prayer so that at least you will respect us for praying. And unfortunately, the Pharisees are still with us. As I show you the purpose of prayer, you will understand the difference. Because this is what men do. If I can't achieve it, I will create a momentum and a ritual around it, so that the ritual will substitute the original purpose. So that when you see me, you will no longer be disappointed that I couldn't produce the result. You will appreciate me at least for the ritual. Take for instance, somebody has cancer. The person requires healing. I come up, I say I'm a healing evangelist. And the person shows up. I look at the cancer. I know I can't do anything about it. What do? I begin drama. I carry a handkerchief. I wave it. I dance. I do all kinds of things. I say there's an angel here. Even if the cancer doesn't go, the drama is enough. You will not remember that there was a cancer to be healed. This is what the Pharisees have done. What God says the purpose of prayer is, they couldn't meet it. So they built a religion, a ritual around the activity. So if you see them, you will no longer remember why we pray in the first place. And unfortunately, there are many Christians today who don't know why we pray. So we glorify in rituals instead of the results of prayer. Imagine if you came to my office to see me, and then you sit at the reception for 10 hours and you end up not seeing me. And then you walk out of that office. You say, I sat for 10 hours. I was there for 10 hours. The time is useless. You didn't go to my office to sit for 10 hours. Now, it's important that you are able to sit for 10 hours. Why? It shows your desire to see me. It shows your passion to see me. But your goal was to see me. If you don't see me and you walk out and people ask, what did he say? Did you see him? Because you have no answer to give them, what will you say? I sat in that office for 10 hours. When I sat there, they knew a man was around. For 10 hours, they couldn't say go anywhere. They gave me water. They gave me tea. They gave me biscuit. Is that why you went there? Is the time important? Yes, it means you are disciplined. It means you have a desire to see me. But if you substitute that 10 hours for seeing me, then your purpose is defeated. But that's the way of the Pharisees. So it becomes hypocrisy. It becomes about men to applaud you. The goal of prayer is not for men to applaud you. It's not the ritual around prayer. Prayer has specific reasons for which it was instituted. And very quickly, I want to show you 8 reasons why prayer was instituted. And then I will show you how to pray to achieve those reasons. Because there are rudiments for prayer, for you to achieve the purpose for which prayer was instituted. Number one, what was the reason for the institution of prayer? Is communion. An intimacy with God. When they started teaching us about prayer, one of the first things they told us was that prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Thank God for your stamina, and I'm going to talk about stamina because it's important. Because certain things Many things, rather, take time. So stamina is important. Never will I talk down on it. But the stamina is not the end. It's a means to an end. They told us prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. So you have not prayed because you spoke to God. You have prayed because after speaking, you heard God. So when you go there, your goal is communion. Your goal is not time. Your goal is not how much you have to say. Having said what you have to say, having tarried there, the question is, what did he say? Imagine if you got to see somebody in the office and you were granted access, and then you sit in that office and you talk for 5 hours. The person didn't say, You finished talking, you stood up and went out as a strong man. This is what we do. Somebody goes in to pray, he comes out. Today was fire. He didn't hear God. I teach here all the time. The protocol of prayer is 3. Number 1, access. Make sure you enter. Number 2, interaction. Make sure you receive as much as you have given. And then number 3 is manifestation. What you have received, make sure it impacts your world. If this 3 is not there, the prayer circuit is not complete. And this is what happens when communion takes place. I know you have been talking to God. How many times have you heard him? This is why sometimes what we call prayer in itself is distraction. The way some of us pray, even if God speaks, we won't hear. You are too conscious of what everybody is seeing. The moment camera comes, here. The whole attention is on camera, is on internet, is on people. How can you receive? That's why most of our prayer is drama. And the proof that is drama is that you don't see transformation and you don't see power. Because go read your Bible. When they pray, these things must happen. You will see transformation because God talks to them. And when the word of God comes to you, it transforms you. When they pray, you saw power. You read the Bible, it's a book of miracles. Because men through prayer provoked it. How come we are praying and all of our record and testimony of prayer now is sweat, stature, rank that has no results to show. Either in transformation or in circumstantial change, something is wrong. We are not hearing God. We are not communing with God. The psalmist said, once has the Lord spoken. He said, twice have I heard that power belongs to God. When they go there, they hear something. When they go there, they see something. When they go there, they touch something. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we looked upon, and our hands handled, of the word of life. He said, that is what we have come to commit to you. Go to verse 2. It will now show you the purpose of fellowship, either with ourselves or with God. It said, that which we have seen and heard, where did they see it? Where did they hear it? In their communion with him. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. For us, it's communion. We see him, we hear him. Prayer does not end with I spoke. Prayer ends with having spoken, I heard him and I saw him. It's a dialogue. This is what your heart should crave for when you go to pray. In Psalm 27 verse 8, he said, my heart says to you, seek his face. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. When you kneel down there in prayer, your hunger should be what he has to say. Your hunger should be to see him. That is where your power lies. Your power does not ultimately rest with what you say. It rests with what he says. Because what you say should depend on what he says. He said, he have said, so that we may boldly say. If he didn't say and you say, you are joking. Communion, interaction, intimacy, engagement. When you come out of your altar, who did you engage? What did you engage? Jeremiah 33 verse 3, ask of me, I will answer. When I'm done answering you, then I start my own. I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. So there's nothing wrong in you asking. There's nothing wrong in you speaking. But now that you have spoken, have you heard him? Have you seen anything from Israel? Ask of me, I will answer. It's a dialogue. When you are done, then me too, I have something to say. I have something to show. I will show you great. Did you see the difference? What you asked was not qualified, whether small or great. But the moment his own path was activated, it became great and mighty thing. So what makes us great in prayer are the things we hear him say and the things we see him show. Number two, purpose of prayer is worship, honor, and adoration. Prayer is one of the ways you ventilate your heart of worship and honor to God. You are full of gratitude. You are full of revelation of God. The way you ventilate that revelation, the way you ventilate that gratitude is in prayer. Look at the way Jesus taught them to pray. After this manner, pray. Matthew 6 verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Most of us go to pray, we forget the God we are praying to. Even our operation, it just shows flesh and arrogance. I know when we are in warfare, I know when we are dealing with things, sometimes they can get brutal. But you see, it's not drama we are acting. There must be honor, there must be reverence for God. I'm not saying don't have liberty in your Father's presence. We dance here, we celebrate, we play in his presence. He's our Father. But it should never be without reverence. I've taught you before, there are certain realms you enter. Because of the intensity of that realm, it may affect you. Both your actions, your emotions, and your posture. God knows that his realm may be too intense for you. So when you enter the realm, certain actions are not a surprise to him. There are realms where fire is the environment. There are realms where light is the environment. The whole environment is fire. You enter certain realms in God. Isaiah chapter 6. The seraphims, the creatures of holiness, they were literally moving in an atmosphere saturated by fire. That was where Isaiah entered. And they carried one of the coals. They couldn't even touch it themselves. With a tongue. And touch his tongue. You don't expect that guy to be. He's touching something. So God knows when you are touching a realm. But if realm is not touching you and you start acting drama, it's dishonor. Some of you, what you won't tolerate people doing in your presence is what you do in God's presence. Imagine if somebody comes to talk to you and say, you. You feel like, hello. But if that realm is on you, even the inhabitants of that realm know that something is happening to you that you are not used to. So the disposition must be important. Look at the 20 and 4 elders. Revelation chapter 4. The Bible said they fell on their faces. They cast their crown and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." So prayer is a channel for worship, for honor, and for adoration. Jesus says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Psalm 95 verse 6 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker." I told you my experience some years ago. I was in my room praying, talking a lot of things, rolling on the floor and weeping. And then suddenly I opened my eyes and there was a light on my ceiling. Very scary light. I didn't know where it came from. If you know the God you are doing that thing before, you will be organized though. Please, anything you are doing in God's presence, make sure it's the presence that is manipulating you. Make sure. Don't carry your drama into that presence. Oh. That presence has a decorum. That's why I'm not giving you steps to take there or posture to assume. But whatever you are doing there, make sure you are not doing it to leave a record among men. Make sure you are not doing it to leave a posture for men to copy. Make sure you are not doing it to leave a prayer language for people. Make sure you are not doing it to create something that will bring human honor to you. Make sure that realm is what's manipulating you. If you must have posture in God's presence, there are already biblical postures, like lifting of holy hands. The Bible calls that evening sacrifice. Like kneeling down is an act of reverence. Like lying down is an act of yieldedness. There are postures, like standing is an act of waiting or a posture of warfare. Like sitting is an act of faith. But if you are not doing what the Bible has already prescribed, make sure it's the realm you are touching that is manipulating you. Not you trying to manipulate people, making them think you are in the realm. It defies the purpose of prayer. Prayer is for worship. It's for honor. It's for adoration. Come, let's kneel before our Maker so that we can honor and adore Him. Number three, prayer is for legislation and litigation. When we go into the place of prayer, we have entered a state and a place where we can exercise divine government, enforcing the will of God, either in our lives or in the lives of others or in the territory. Jesus was praying, Matthew 6:10, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done on earth is legislation. He taught us himself, when there is a mountain before you, Mark 11:23, it says, "Command the mountain to be removed." That's prayer. And in verse 24 of that scripture, it says, "Whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you have it and you receive it." So prayer is to establish God's will for legislation and for litigation, either for your life, for another person, or for a territory. For your life, many times, is prayer of faith. For others, many times, a prayer of petition, prayer of intercession. And the same applies for territory. And there are divers of them. But one of the reasons we pray is to enforce God's will. Look at Jesus in Gethsemane. "If it were possible, let this cup pass me by. Yet not my will, but thine. That's legislation. That's litigation. You are either proclaiming God's law or will or enforcing it. Or you are stopping anything that wants to counter it. That's the goal of prayer. That's why sometimes we cast out devils in prayer. Anything that wants to stop God's will, in prayer you stop it. And then in prayer, you also advance or enforce God's will. Or God's will or God's laws. That's prayer. This is why when you go to pray, these are the things that should form your consciousness. What's the quality of communion, of intimacy? Have I spoken to him? Yes. Have I heard him? Have I seen from Israel? When you pray, what's the quality of reverence, of worship, of adoration that I have brought before him? When I pray, what will of God am I changing or enforcing? What will of God is my life through prayer establishing? This is what they record in eternity. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul was teaching in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 and 8. He showed us legislation. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made of all men. Verse 2, he said, first for kings and for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. In verse 8, he said, I wish that men everywhere will lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt. To do what? To enforce God's will. So when you are praying, this is the report card you check. Intimacy. This is my prayer for 1 year, for 2 years. How much of God have I touched? How much of God has been committed to me? This is my prayer. How much of honor, of worship does it bring to God? This is my prayer. To what degree does he enforce the will of God? Both in my life, in the life of others, and in the territory. These are the things you should check. Because these are the reasons for prayer. Number 4, why do we pray? It gives us the opportunity to exercise our spirits. A Christian who does not pray will be weak. 1 Timothy 4:8, the Bible tells us. Swimming, football, they are good, but their profit is little as far as eternity is concerned. Bodily exercise profited little, but godliness, every act of God's realm, God's ways, is that a profit unto all things, having promise of this life and the life that is to come. So it helps you exercise. Jude verse 20. Building up yourself upon your most holy faith. Praying in the spirit. So when you are done praying, you shall become stronger in the spirit. Things that fight you. You can't be praying and something is pressing you in the dream. You can't be praying and you are vulnerable to a weight. So when you go to pray, what there should be in your mind? I'm developing my muscles. These things can't hold me down anymore. So you are praying and you are marking things that you are refusing to oppress you. Sickness can't oppress me. Addiction can't oppress me. Demons can't oppress me. You are building energy. So you are conscious that you are developing yourself. You are conscious. This is where prayer becomes warfare. And death. Do you go to the gym because you love iron? When you go to the gym, what's the consciousness? You are developing muscles. You are developing your respiratory system. So it's either cardiovascular or cardiomuscular. So all of the ions you are lifting, you are targeting specific muscles to develop them. For healthy purposes. All the running on the treadmill is to develop cardiovascular fitness. The volume of oxygen that flows should increase. If there be any cholesterol in bloodstream, flushed out. So So you are building for specific reasons. It's not, you don't go to the gym. Well, nowadays, you can't tell. Because some people go to the gym to snap naked. That's the only opportunity to dress almost naked. So they go to the gym, they do like this. For 5 minutes, the rest is selfies and pictures and face chat. But that's not why you go there. You go there to build capacity. So when you go to pray, this is your consciousness. I'm developing my spirit. And as I teach you the rudiments of prayer, I will show you the things that you do in prayer to make this happen. Number five. When you pray to receive guidance, wisdom, and direction. If any man lacks wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. One of the ironies I've noticed in this generation is that some of the most confused Christians pray a lot. And then you wonder what they are doing there. Somebody tells you he has been praying for 21 days and you ask him, he doesn't know anything about his life. There's no bearing at all. Even minister. Because we don't understand the purpose. And because we don't know when we are there, we don't know how to train our consciousness. We don't know what to expect from that realm. So when the realm opens, we can't receive. If you lack wisdom, the guy is an intercessor, but he went to a wrong city. He married the wrong woman. He started a ministry that God didn't send him. He entered the wrong business. And after 12 years, he's lamenting everywhere. I spent my life praying. Why am I like this? You didn't know why you were praying. You go read your Bible. When they wanted to seek God for direction, they went to the altar. They came back. It was like a miracle that always happened. And some of the kings you saw who excelled in warfare, it was prayer. Like David. They want to go to battle. They go to consult with God. To the Urim and the Thummim. Should we go? Yes, go. Attack. Overtake. And take, possess all. And they will stand up. Even if there are 20 soldiers, let's go. We have won. There was specificity. Because when they went to the altar, they went with an understanding and a consciousness that they were seeking direction. They didn't just go there boxing the wind. In your business, you can receive direction in prayer. In your career, in your ministry, you can receive direction. So when you go to pray, don't waste eternity units just to come out with sweat. When you go there, make sure you touch God and God touches you. When you go there, make sure you leave your sacrifice of worship. When you go there, make sure you have legislated and enforced God's will somewhere. When you go there, make sure you come out with wisdom and direction. Prayer should make you wiser. Prayer should give you precision in life that men should wonder, how do you know this thing? It's an irony to pray and be foolish. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. A man who prays should not be asking questions every day about direction. What are you looking for on the altar? Number six, why do we pray? It gives us a window, an opportunity for repentance and for transformation. When we lift our voices, we are seeking God's perspective and to align with it. Because repentance is not just turning from sin. Repentance is also going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. That means prayer helps you to discern God's perspective and to align. If you are against God, you turn away from whatever it is you are facing to God. If you are with God, then there is more. As he reveals more, you enter. In Romans 1:17, it says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. For as it is written, the just lives by faith. So a man who prays has the opportunity to keep pace with God. He knows where God is by time. And he keeps transiting. That's how we go higher, is to keep pace in prayer. So prayer is an avenue for repentance and for transformation. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. Unto what? That image that we see. So you can carry the word of God, prayerfully studying it, and the scriptures come alive. Or you are in your closet praying, and the word of the Lord comes to you. You remember, there was a time when there was no scripture. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. So the word comes to you. I, Ezekiel, in the 30th year, in the 5th month, on the 4th day, I was by the river Kabar, and I saw visions of God. And when he spake, the word carried me off to my feet. Ezekiel 1 verse 1 and 2 and Ezekiel 2 verse 1. So the word comes to you in prayer. And when it comes, he either shows you God's perspective for repentance, or he enters you and transforms you, making you become like God. So when you pray, you should focus on character transformation. When you pray, you should focus on mental refinement. You can't be praying and you remain the 1992 version of yourself. No, it means something is wrong with your prayer life. But you look around some of our intercessors today. Those who say they are intercessors. Something is wrong. So this prayer thing, we must understand it. If you need to write these things down, paste it on your wall. Anytime you want to go and pray, read it before you go and pray. It will help you. So that you know what to focus on as you are praying. You know the consciousness to carry. This is how you become. Number what now? Number what? 7. Prayer is to turn circumstances around. You pray to change circumstances. You don't pray to beat record of time. Oh my God. I won't go deep today. I would have shown you why time is a factor. You know, prayer is a business of eternity. So time is not a primary factor. But the reason time becomes necessary, amongst other things, is number one, discipline. Temperance is a spiritual virtue. So anytime you do any spiritual thing, you must develop virtue. Number two, worthwhile things in this realm takes time. Even the world that was created took time. God was creating the earth from the invisible realm. But because it's appearing here, time has to be the unit of measurement. You know, the visible things were created from the invisible. That means the world was created from the invisible realm. But because it was manifesting here, it was recorded in time. So even though it's an eternal business, when you enter there, anytime you reappear here, there will be a time gap. So for discipline and virtue, for quantifying engagement, but ultimately, what really matters in prayer is transport, where you went to, because it's a business of eternity. If you prayed for 7 hours, and you were exercising your will for 7 hours, you were just laboring. Because at some point, your spirit is supposed to enter God's realm at some point. That's when time loses its power. Prayer is actually a technology that makes time to lose its power. So when you are praying, you are trying to break out of time zone to eternal zone. So your primary focus can't be time. You are breaking the powers of time. You think when Moses was on Sinai, he was counting days? No, he wasn't. Because when you read that scripture, those were not the things recorded. The things recorded were the things happening in glory. So the guy broke into another dimension. He said he saw the finger of God. Fire came out of it and wrote the law. Those were the things he was interacting with. The cloud descended, covered the mountains of Sinai. The guy saw God face to face. God himself testified, I speak to Moses as a man talks to his friend, mouth to mouth. So what was happening was not days being counted. It was mouth to mouth conversation between creator and creation, between Elohim and man. What was happening? It was that the vault of eternal wisdom was opened and the oracles of God were being downloaded from eternity to time. Those were the transactions happening. But when that transaction finished, there was a quantification because Moses had to come back to where he left. And so those who were on earth say, this is your journey to 40 days. Moses wasn't counting time. He was counting realms, transactions, and dispensations. But time is important because you build virtue. Because what you are doing will be quantified in this realm, but time is not your goal. Please understand this. So while you develop discipline, you know your goal. Prayer is for changing the circumstances. Let's take a census here. How many of you can write clearly, without contradiction, three things that you have changed this year by prayer? Can you take a pen and paper and write it? This person was barren. I took it to the altar. Now she's pregnant. This person had cancer. I took it to the altar. It has dematerialized. This person was addicted to marijuana, to cannabis. They told me, I took it to prayer. It has changed. This family, people were dying. I took it to prayer. Death has stopped. We don't know why we are praying. And we have carried our own report card from God and we are marking it by fleshly standards. This is scripture I'm telling you. Don't waste your destiny by praying wrongly. There are rudiments to prayer. Mark 11:22-24. Jesus telling us, if they have faith in God. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall have whatsoever she says. Then verse 24, which is the emphasis. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray. When you pray is when you change circumstances. So when you are on your altar, change things. If you begin to focus on changing things, you will discover you will actually spend more time in prayer. But this time won't be your trophy. I know a few things that I have changed. And I knew how many mileage I needed to key into the spirit for those changes to happen. Both in my life and in the life of people around me. The purpose of prayer. Turning circumstances around. Look at Paul and Silas. Acts 16. They flogged them. Threw them into prison. There was no human connection. But they knew what prayer could do. The Bible said in verse 25, at midnight, it said Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang praises to God. And instantly things happened in the spirit. An angel was deployed. The foundation of the prison shook. The doors opened on their own accord. They knew that prayer changed things. You study Acts chapter 12. When Herod put Peter in prison, the church didn't call the governor. The new prayer changes things. See, we are praying, we are not even hoping for things to change. Some of you pray, if somebody tells you that thing you prayed for has happened, you will say, not true. Don't say the truth. Because all the shabba shabba you were doing, you were not expecting that anything should change. No! Don't pray like that. When you go to the altar, carry things on your spiritual water and change them. Change them. Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And he lifted up his voice. I thank you, O Father, that you always hear me. And he confronted the dead man. What is that prayer that he prayed? What did he know about prayer? And he called the dead man from the grave. Had been buried. But he knew that if I will pray, circumstances will change. No matter what it looks like. May God help us to understand prayer. We have not understood it all. I'm telling you, even me teaching you here, we have not understood prayer. Many times people say they are prayer warriors. When real problems come, call them, they run away. Have you seen how many of our prayer meetings, have you seen problems? They bring them, we say, keep it here. We will change it. Andrew Womack was teaching on prayer. He said, when they started learning prayer, when they want to call for prayer meeting, they call for problems. So they brought it. They will pray here until it changes. And you will think it's somebody is catching cold. No. Somebody will have an accident. Bone will be broken. Bring the person here. And they will gather and start praying. And the person will stand up. Bones will be mended. That was how they developed prayer. See, if you want to train yourself in prayer, forget this thing of just gathering and sweating. I'm telling you, exercising yourself is important. But if that's where you stop, you are joking. The day you meet problem, you will know the difference. Go and write challenges in your family. Write challenges down and be praying on them. When you pray, ask questions. After 3 days, after 1 week, after 2 weeks. When it is done, mark it. You have started prayer. When it is done, mark it. Those who taught us prayer, that's what they taught us. Those days we used to go from house to house. Is there a challenge here? We had records. So when we finished from prayer meeting, there was a woman bedridden. They said she has not walked. We will go there and surround ourselves and start praying. We will pray and pray and pray. If nothing happens, we are coming back tomorrow. Prayer has not ended. Night has come. We will come back the next day. We will pray and pray and pray. This is how you grow in prayer, sir. There were those that changed. There were some that didn't change. But we knew that we were engaging something. So for us, prayer was a trigger. It wasn't a religious activity. It was a trigger. Change things by prayer. That's why you pray. Change things. Today, somebody even comes to you. I have tumor. I have pain. You say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And you are going. Why did you pray? You have prayed. Is the tumor still there? Is the pain still there? You prayed to remove the tumor. You didn't pray to fulfill all righteousness. To show you that we don't know why we pray. Many of you will start changing circumstances from today. This is how the elders operated. They tell you your business won't work. Don't cry, sir. If the environment is rowdy, wait till evening. When people sleep, lock your door. Carry that pile, put on the ground, and begin to pray around it. That's why you pray. You pray until there is a note of victory. It is done. You carry the pipe, put it back. That's why we pray, sir. It's not religion. The Holy Ghost is in us, helping us to pray. Is it for us to feel good? Otto's word. Prayer. Prayer. Oh my. It changes things. If you have this mentality in prayer, your prayer life will it will skyrocket. Some of us, when we pray, we expect to see you. Ask my people. When I'm praying, I have documents, book and paper and pen. Or my iPad is there to write. I'm going to download that. You write things down. You pray with expectations. Because prayer has a purpose. If you know this, then you can now begin to engage prayer. So very quickly, what are the rudiments for effective prayer? Number one, these are the ingredients for prayer. Effective prayer. Number one, faith. These things I tell you tonight, believe me, if you practice it, you'll be shocked. If your prayer will be powerful, it will be powerful to the degree that these ingredients are present. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 verse 6, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. It said, for whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If there is no belief or faith in your prayer, that prayer is largely religious. I'm telling you. This is why the apostles didn't say we'll give ourselves to prayer. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Because for prayer to be effective, faith is a must. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. You hear some people, they say, they are intercessors. They don't have much to do with the word. But if it's prayer, that's their office. Check their lives. They have no results of prayer. I'm telling you. From transformation, to direction and wisdom, to capacity to change things, they don't have them. They just call themselves intercessors because they built the discipline of prayer. Prayer is more than that. If you want to be effective in prayer, prayer must go hand in hand with the word. Because the extent to which you have faith is the extent to which you please God and is the extent to which you receive from God. Whoever cometh to him must believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you can't tell me you are a prayer giant if you don't, you are not a faith giant. Every prayer giant in history is known by the things that they routed through faith in prayer. They didn't just record them for how long they prayed. How long they prayed, how consistent, very important. I'll talk about it. But every prayer giant in history had testimonies. Elijah prayed, fire came down. That's not a joke. He was part of those chronicled in the hall of fame of faith. Abraham prayed. Barrenness, impotence revived. They changed things when they prayed. Moses prayed. The Red Sea parted. Moses prayed. Water came out of the rock. It's not just lingos. There was a faith element underneath the prayer that was making impact. Samuel prayed, an army was defeated. He said in 1 Samuel 7, verse 12 to 14, he erected a stone, poured oil on it, called it Ebenezer. There he called the name of the Lord. And the Bible said, God thundered from heaven. And the armies of the Philistines were discomfited. They ran back. The land that they took from Israel, from Ekron to Gath, was recovered. And they said, for the days of Samuel, the hand of God was against the Philistines. Samuel's prayer was equivalent to the work of an army. When they wanted to accuse Samuel that he didn't want to give them a king, Samuel showed up and said, to prove to you that I spoke the mouth of the mind of God. He said, this is dry season. He said, rain will fall now. Men of prayer were men of rugged faith. Rain will fall now. And while he was yet speaking, he thundered from heaven. Rain started falling. That's how they knew men of prayer. In the days of old, they recorded men of prayer by the public impact they had. Because if you stay with him in the closet, he will prove it in the public. When you see people say they pray and they are still struggling in the public, you are wondering what prayer is that. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 6, when you pray in the secret, your heavenly Father that sits in the secret will reward you in public. But why is this not happening? People are not praying from the place of faith. We are a generation that is so shocked when God answers our prayer. For the fathers will tell you what will happen before they pray. Samuel said, rain will fall now. Elijah said, let's see who has God. Let's go to the mountain. Erect your altar, we erect my own. The one that answers by fire is the God. Joshua stood up. The Bible said he spoke publicly. Today they will see God. Let the sun remain upon Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon Gibeon. What? Who has spoken to the constellation? The prophet Isaiah told Hezekiah, choose which one you prefer, whether the sun should go forward by 10 degrees or go back by 10 degrees. Are you seeing this, man? Were they thinking? Before God, whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. You talk to a king like that? But there was something they had. Building up yourself upon your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer goes hand in hand with faith. Number two, rudiment of prayer is heart posture. When you are praying, God is listening to your heart. Because I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the reins to give to every man as his way should be. Jeremiah 17 verse 11. I search the heart. When you open your mouth, the gate of the heart is open. I go beyond your words into your heart. God is more concerned about the heart of the man speaking than the tongue talking. The reason we are not powerful and effective in prayer is because our heart is not right. Heart posture is too important. And when we speak heart posture, there are four things that are cardinal. Number one, sincerity. Sincerity and purity of motive. Please make sure when you come to God, you are both sincere and your motive is pure. If you want your prayer to be powerful, go check Hannah out. Pray for a child. The goal was not the blessing of a child. She wanted to respond to Penina. God is too big to come into your argument to exonerate you and prove a point with you. Motive was wrong. Prayed and wept, nothing happened. But the day her motive became right, it's no longer about Penina. Give me a child, I will give him to serve you. Even a priest that God departed from spoke and God heard. James chapter 4, the Bible tells us. It says you pray and you receive not. Why? It says you ask amiss. You ask that you might heap it on your loss. Those who are praying, their heart must be better. God is more interested in the heart. Because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why did God call the prayer of the Pharisees hypocrisy? Their heart posture was wrong. Matthew chapter 6 verse 5. They wanted people to see and applaud them. So they weren't praying because they wanted a relationship. They weren't praying because they wanted to honor God. They weren't praying because they were seeking wisdom and direction. They were not praying to change circumstances. They were not praying to enforce God's will. They were not even praying to exercise their spirit. They wanted men to give them titles and applaud them. And their prayer was an abomination before the Lord. Because prayer can be an abomination if it doesn't come from the place of purity. It said the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination before the Lord. It said, but the prayer of the upright is a delight. Purity. Number two, humility. That's heart posture. When you are praying, God is checking out your sincerity. When you are praying, God is weighing your level of brokenness. This is why, no matter the answers you get in prayer, don't become a peacock. You will be shocked how the realm will forget you overnight. Too many princes came before you, sir. There are some that wore light. There are some that were clothed in fire. You are not the first being of glory. More glorified ones have shown up. Even Jesus himself, once upon a time, was a man praying from earth. So be careful. Always approach him with brokenness. David was speaking in Psalm 51, verse 17 now. He said, the sacrifices of God, they are a broken spirit. He said, for a broken and a contrite heart, thou, O God, cannot despise. When a humble man prays, God answers. When a proud man prays, God resists him. James 4:10. He said, humble yourself before the Lord, that in due time he may exalt you. But if you are proud, he will abhor you. This is why 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us clearly. It says, if we will humble ourselves and pray, he will answer. He will come down. He will heal our land. The whole idea of prayer itself was to model humility. You are coming to God because you have vetted yourself that in yourself is no help. So you don't come to the place of seeking help and you are proud. It's foolishness. Go check out the angels when they pray. They fell on their faces. They cast their crown. That's not where you show your glory. That's not where you write your record. You are before the king. So the heart posture of humility is important. Don't come there. Oh, God, don't come. What is the issue? Why are you guys like this? It is this little matter you can't handle. So, let God remove his hand. But we see how little it is. Some of us are so proud that we look at something. Let's take this. When I started seeing God's power move, when I'm talking, people are slain. When I announce it, the moment I'm announcing it, God is moving. Okay, one day I say, God, relax, all this falling down. We have left this level. You have left this level. I now went for 2-3 other meetings. Holy Ghost touched them. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! People were looking at me like this. Oh God, you don't finish. I was just praying for one person to fall down. I stopped praying whether God, and my goal was not God touch them. My goal was not God heal them. God push somebody down now. I was hoping that I will hear the sound of a plastic chair. At least, Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Meanwhile, I've spoken with so much audacity. I will speak now. I don't have more time. God will talk to 12 people. You don't have time. Now, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Father, you say you will touch people.
This is your will for your children. Prayer language has begun to change. Lord, you love them. They can't go. They honor their faith. It's no longer your authority. Honor their faith. I will honor it later. Prove yourself now. You are God. If you don't want to sweat on the stage of your manifestation, come with the clock of humility. Too important. I'm not saying you shouldn't be bold in the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't be audacious in the world. But be careful for your mind not to be lifted. Be careful. I was ministering the other time. God was healing people. I said, leave pain, leave pain. Who? Tumor. Where's tumor? The Holy Ghost now reminded me. So you are the one handling pain. Should we leave pain for you? You know, that's not what we meant. We are just saying to help the faith of people. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That hand is mighty. Don't let him put it on you in the wrong way. It will crush you. At posture number 3, focus. When you are in prayer, be focused. Psalm 46 verse 10 said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Be effectual in your prayer. Be effectual. See, when you go to pray, make sure you pray away distraction. And also make sure you don't create distraction in prayer. Because some of us, we can't pray in public. We are too conscious of what people are thinking. So most of the drama is to send impressions into the hearts of men. Those things would make you not to make the most of prayer. This is why the Bible advises that you go lock yourself. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pray in public. It means your attention should be on God and what you want to achieve in God, not on the externals. Either legitimate concerns of life or the opinions of men. He said, how can you believe when you desire the honor that comes from men? That's why we can't command power. Some of us, because we are conscious of people, even when we are praying in the public, our language, the grammar we use, it's not because that's our default mode. We just want those around to know that the person praying here, leave him home. And you know how God works? That language will become your glory. The tumor will remain. The cancer will remain. You will sweat like this. Even demons will be cast out. So be careful. Make sure you focus solely on God and the things you want to achieve from His realm. That's why we enumerated the purposes of prayer. Lack of focus affects so many people. It's like diverging that which comes from God's realm. Be convergent so that anything that comes is packaged and you can receive it in its intensity. The secret of intensity is actually focus. When you focus on God, everything that comes, you will receive it. And you will see that it will take you higher in His realm. Be focused. Know why you are there. Stay on it. When I started learning prayer and I realized that this thing is a business of eternity, one of the ways I started seeing prayer was a door into eternity. So when I go to pray, sometimes I off the whole light. Nobody comes to the room where I pray. If you enter, you may not even know somebody is there. I'm trying to break out of the noise of the flesh. Now, you mustn't pray like that. There are people that gain focus when the volume is loud. That's how they get raptured. But find what works for you. There are those who play music at the background. It helps them to be still. But by all means, make sure you enter where he is. Make make sure. Because the go is transport. Enter where transactions happen. It takes focus for intensity to happen. Look at the fathers of old. Even when they were in trouble, they knew how to isolate their attention from their environment and connect to God. John was, he was thrown into boiling oil. He wouldn't die. They tied him to a chariot, dragged him around the city. He wouldn't die. So they threw him to an island called Patmos. Patmos means death. But while he was there, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Nothing could distract the guy. I was in the spirit. I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And I turned. So he was, he knew what he was looking for. Don't be all over the place in prayer. You'll be busting the wind. Focus. And finally, as touching heart posture, make sure there is a deep commitment to God. Let it be like the cry of your heart. Every moment of prayer, make it a deep commitment. Because that in itself is an act of reverence. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18, he said, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from their trouble. It's a cry of the soul. Prayer shouldn't be a careless thing for you. Even if you have to do it for 10 minutes, let it be a heart cry. Beyond what you are saying, let God hear your heart. This is what defines reverence in God's presence. The second rudiment of prayer is heart posture. As I round up, because of time, let me list them. Go and do your study. The third rudiment of prayer is revelation. And the fourth rudiment of prayer is persistence and consistency. Anybody who prays once in a while can never be effectual in prayer. Those who are powerful by prayer, they are persistent. That means they pray until they break through. And that means they don't pray once in a while. Prayer is part of their daily menu. It's a lifestyle. That's how you maximize prayer. See, when you are on a matter, don't leave it that way. That's why Jesus told us the parable in Luke 18. He said, the woman troubled the unjust judge, although the man neither feared God nor man, but the woman won't let her. If you raise anything in prayer, don't have a timeline for it. It's either yes or yes. Until the answer comes, we won't stop. Or until there's a note of victory. Did you see how Elijah prayed? 1 Kings 18, from verse 41 to 46. The Bible said he put his head in between his thighs. He prayed, go and check. Nothing. He prayed, go and check. 7 times. Until Elisha came and said, I see something like a man's fist. That's what I'm looking for. Don't stop until you break through. And the way you break through is that either the circumstance changes or you receive a note of victory. That's persistency in prayer. And then consistency. Don't stop because the prayer, what you pray for has been answered. Make it a lifestyle. Because your prayer is beyond that one thing you are looking for. Many other things will come up as you journey through life, either horizontally or vertically. Because even if you are not growing, where you are, as you are moving, challenges will meet you. And if you are growing vertically, every height has different priesthood. So you need to be consistent. Don't get an answer today and wait until Satan comes again before you go to the altar. When you need an answer, pray until you get it. After you get it, keep praying. It takes persistence and consistency to be effectual in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray, always, and not to faint. ought always. So there's persistency or persistence, and there's consistency. And then there's revelation. I can't deal with revelation tonight because it's quite boisterous. But you see, your prayer is as effective as the revelation injected into that prayer. The end of prayer is wisdom, a strategy. If light has not come, prayer has not made impact. Don't go pray and walk away until light comes. You are powerful in prayer to the degree to which you access light. And there are different kinds of revelations. There are some revelations you enter with, like the finished works of Christ. You need to know who you are in God. You need to know what gives you access, the blood, the name of Jesus. By them, you go in prayer. And then you need to know what type of prayer to pray for what. When you see a mountain, intercession won't work. Jesus didn't say talk to God about the mountain. He said talk to the mountain about God. So if you are using intercession to deal with mountain, you will be there for a lifetime. And when you are dealing with something that involves the will of men, faith won't work. Because God won't bend people's faith. What you use there is petition or intercession. If you are dealing with issues that involve territories, government, policies, if you don't know how to maximize both intercession and prayer of agreement, you may not have results. Because there are times where you need quorum to change territoriality. So there are revelations you carry into prayer. The revelation of the finished works of Christ. You need to know who you are. That you have been given access to come by the blood. You need to know that when you pray in the name of Jesus, God hears. Not because of you, because of Jesus. You need to know that. And then you need to know what type of prayer to pray for what circumstance. These are basic revelations you must have as you go to prayer. But there are deeper revelations also that God gives you as you pray. So that you can transit higher. For example, you need to understand the mystery of prophetic essence. There are certain revelations that come to you that border on time. When you want to pray, God can give you a time to pray. It's not doctrine, but that matter, that's the prophetic timeline where certain things are open for your advantage. Why do you think the early church prayed at 3 o'clock and they called it the hour of prayer? In Acts chapter 3 verse 1, they knew something about that hour. So these are prophetic mysteries. There are certain prayers you want to pray. Revelation will come that you should carry out an act of sacrifice. This is not an apostle or a prophet coercing you to do something. This is the Holy Ghost telling you. This thing you are looking for, go and do this. Go to an orphanage, empty your account. This thing you are looking for, that building project, go and drop your money there. And you are wondering, why do I need that? That's not the name of Jesus. It's a mystery. There are prophetic essence in prayer. Because that act shows honor. It shows reverence. It shows faith. It shows worship. God is summing things together to give you an answer. Because in the spirit, that you're giving is not the money. It means your heart is with God. So your heart cry was summarized in that sacrifice. Where a man's treasure is, his heart is there. It's an act of worship. Your reverence quotient is defined by that sacrifice. That's why when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, he called it worship. Your faith in God is summarized there. So when God looks at that sacrifice, he's looking at worship, honor, faith, all of it in one. So the moment you speak, answer comes. They are mysteries. These ones you may not be taught is a whisper of the Holy Ghost. But it's the revelation that makes your prayer powerful in such a way that your enemy can't explain. So there are prophetic essence for prayer. Even environment and atmosphere. Sometimes you want to pray, God won't give you utterance. He will withhold utterance until certain atmospheres are created. He now says, speak. think now? Why do you think God didn't show up as the earth and began to recreate the earth? Light be. He waited for the spirit to move. There are certain prayers that won't work until certain atmospheres are created. So you can go to your altar and weep for 3 days. God won't say anything. Then you come into a worship gathering. And when the worship hits a crescendo, he says, he brings that problem back into your heart. Now talk it. Now you are talking into a river. And as you utter it, answer comes. Even you who know why, you might even ascribe it to your 3 days of crying. Meanwhile, it was an environment. God brought you there so that you can inseminate it with words and produce results. There are revelations of prayer. This is why a man is powerful in prayer to the degree of revelation that he has. And sometimes consecration. There are certain things we are trusting God for. God can put you on a consecration for 1 year before he gives you the utterance to ask for it. And you are wondering why? Because when the result and the impact of that thing you are praying for comes, it will swallow you. That prayer, the answer, may be the reason why you will fall. So God has seen that your problem is not the answer. It's your inability to handle the result you are asking for. So you are asking God for nations. God is telling you, start fasting. You are asking God for nations. God is telling you, start giving to the poor. You are asking God for nations. God is talking to you about purity. Because when those nations open, you will enter in nations where a nation where people dress naked, that they are sunbathing. So he has given you that nation, but that's where you will fall. And because he has seen that the answer may become your fall, he prepares you for the result before you ask. Lord, make me wealthy. And he's looking at you. Can you handle 2 billion? Can you handle 5 billion? What I see is that pride will rise up in you if that money comes. So instead of answering that your prayer, let's pray another one for you first. How about you go and start serving? And you go, I want to serve. They say, begin with toilet. You say, what do you mean? Do I look like a toilet clean? What is wrong with you? I'm wearing suit. You say, I should go to toilet. This church, don't you people have discernment? What is toilet? Didn't you see me? People like me should sit in front. That's how we serve. When we stay in front, we serve properly. And if we must, let's stay with pastor and interact. Let's help the church with wisdom. We have strategy. We have. And the angels will be doing. You go home. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. My wealth has come. I receive favor for wealth. All my partners, all my destiny helpers, they are coming. Oh God, I receive wisdom for productivity. You buy a drum of oil. You take it to prophet. They pray on it in the night. You rub it. I am entering my next level. Your next level is in the toilet. Stay in the toilet for 1 year. By the time you are there and you don't feel bad again, you don't care who is looking, the Holy Ghost will now come and say, you have entered the first level. Now join the usher. Stand at the door. Meanwhile, that was the week you invited your friends to come to your church. They now say, we are promoting you from toilet to usher. So you are at the door. Your friends that you invited, some of them are your staff. When they come, you give them offering envelope. Welcome, sir. They are collecting with reverence. When God finishes with you, now even if he gives you the wealth of Africa, it can't shake you anymore. He has killed the appetite of pride. So when that resource comes, it will be an errand, a tool for error. So the prayer was not delayed. Your process is what determines how fast the answer will come. They are light. Some of us were praying to God for the nation. We will shake this world. And it was great, an act of faith. But if we tell you the path God took us through, you won't believe it. I went by faith and did international passport. 5 years passed, not one stamp on it. The passport expired, had not gone to Benin Republic. Not even Ghana. Who is talking nations? You. So go and ridicule me. If I went that time, maybe first thing would have been to relocate. And then send message to the village that anybody who needs help, start applying. 5 years later, I will reach back and see those that want to help. Because you feel like you are a god. You are a king. I even went for a conference by Randy Clark. He laid hands on me. Doors are open. Walk in the glory realm. I came back 2 weeks. Miracles. I say, oh, the time has come. And to make things worse, some men now started promising me. Those who know me will tell you. In fact, we will send you to Spain. We will send you. I said, oh, we are getting ready. We are exercising faith. Preparing for Spain. Spain, we take you for Jesus. Even the person who said it forgot. That's why I said, until the time that the word came, he said the word of the Lord tried him. It's light. This is why sometimes we are praying. Life becomes more difficult. Instead of being frustrated, a whisper will come. You are on your journey. You are on your journey. This is not where to faint. This struggle means God is interested in you. He's trying to carry the gold through the fire so that when it comes out, it will be refined. It's your journey. When you want to give up, that day you say, I don't do anymore. Then you went to pray, an angel appears in your room. He will just stand there. You will sense the heat that a messenger has come from yonder. A being came from Zion. You will know that an angel is there. And he won't talk to you. He will just go. What they came to do is that we know what you are doing. We are watching. But you are journeying. Because the ranks are depleted in the spirit. We are not looking for tourists that will go to nations. We are looking for men who will ask for nations for the sake of the kingdom. The week when you say, this thing is not working. If it's true, it would have happened. And you wanted to give up. Then a prophet will just, you go for a meeting. A prophet will now walk up to you and say, God says, I should tell you that the nations are at your feet. Is it true? You don't know what I'm telling you. I'm telling you. See, God knows. The Bible said the hair of your head, all of them are numbered. You are not lost in the crowd. He knows you by name. You are engraved in his palm. But you need to understand that sometimes as you pray, prayer introduces you to process. So that God can separate the dross from the precious stone. Revelation. It makes your prayer strong. So that even in the wilderness, you'll be bold. David was being chased like an animal. But he knew that there was a throne waiting. It was so real to them that Benjamin had to make a covenant with him. When you are seated on the throne, I will sit by your side. But the next day, he was running for his life. Don't break that. If you will continue, it's because light has come to you. And I pray for someone. The light you need will come to you today. I said the light you need will come to you. Lift your hands and pray. Yeah. Your prayer is not weak. You just need to add some ingredients. Add faith. Add pure posture. Add revelation. Add persistence and consistency. The Bible said Elijah is a man subject to like passion, just as we are. He prayed earnestly that it should not rain, and it rained not for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. You know what he's saying? You can command the same result as Elijah. You can. He's like you. But you have to pray with understanding. I prophesy over you. From today, you don't just receive the grace to pray. You receive the grace to pray correctly. I say you don't just receive the grace to pray. You receive the grace to pray correctly. You receive the grace to pray correctly. In the name of Jesus Christ.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.